Welcome to Learning Together. I'm Dave Dimmitt, President and CEO of Project Lead the Way. Over the last several years, I've visited classrooms in every state, and one of the most important things I've learned is that the best insights about education often come directly from students. Learning Together is a series of unscripted conversations where students share their perspective around the intersection of school, work, and life. These are discussions about the skills that matter, the shift toward AI, and what it actually feels like to navigate the challenges of modern learning. Thanks for joining.
Well, we're here at Center Grove High School, just south of Indianapolis in Greenwood, Indiana, and got an opportunity to talk with a few students here about their Project Lead the Way experience, all seniors, all in the capstone course, which is a really, I think it's a great opportunity for students to demonstrate what you've learned over a period of years, but a lot of really important work that you're doing this year for sure. So maybe we'll just start and go down the line and just first name and maybe say just one or two things about the capstone project you're working on.
My name is Kason, and for my project, I'm doing like a domain-based filtering for like over the internet. The goal of it is to kind of protect consumers when they're traversing the internet so they don't get like malware, stuff like that.
Okay, great.
My name is Wyatt, and for our project, we are building a sort of automatic trash can. It can sense trash, so we have an AI camera that you stick the trash over, and it kind of reads the material. And then what it's going to do is we have six different valves for six different like types of recycling, and it'll open the valve based off the recycling it read, and then you can just stick it in the trash can, and after about 3 seconds, it'll close back to normal.
Okay, great. And we're going to come back to each of these projects because I want to hear being able to identify the project is a big step that you weren't there at the beginning of the year. So we'll come back and I'd love to hear you talk about the process for how you got to this point.
My name's Luke. My project is basically an attachable sensor using LiDAR, radar, and thermal imaging to help drivers better see in low visibility conditions.
Okay, great. So you're each of you are seniors. You're kind of getting close now to the end of your high school experience. So that's exciting. I don't know if it's scary for you, but it's an exciting step. You've all been in these classes, these engineering classes for multiple years, right? So have you ever gotten stuck on a project, like stuck on a problem, something's not working the way you want it to work? What do you do then?
Yeah, so I'll just go back to last year in our aerospace class. We had a project where we had to like make a Mars rover and get it to autonomously drive through a maze. And me and my partner, we could not get like the autonomous code to work. And we were just going back and forth. And really like the process was just trying the code, testing it, seeing where it went wrong. And then starting from that point and just kind of going down the line and problem solving and just trial and error. And I'd say that's the big thing with like the problem solving and trial and error. Just like, we just keep going until we get it right.
Yeah. And don't give up, right? Like yeah. Just persistence, resilience.
We were coming in for study hall and an aim.
Yeah, yeah. You were motivated. Were you frustrated?
Yeah,
it was frustrated. And motivated. Yeah, that's great.
Last year, we were working on making rockets, and we had this website. I forget exactly what the website was called, and you were basically designing your rocket with different sort of noses. You could do different shapes of the rocket, and you would click the test button, and it would show your ARRI number, I believe is what it's called, and the altitude it would go. And all we were doing that entire class was trial and error, to make that number go the highest so we could have the highest rocket. I thought it was cool. It was kind of like a competition between our friends, and it just like helped us learn a lot. But yeah, it's a lot of like trial and error. It's just you just keep trying different things over and over again, combining different things until it like becomes what you want it to be.
So you had a program that you were working with on the computer. It was guiding you through parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also had a chance to go out and test the rockets.
Yeah.
And sort of see how was that for you, not being just stuck on the computer, But then having a chance to go out and test it and actually see what happens in real life. Is
Yeah.
that important or does that matter?
Yeah, that was like my favorite project ever. Like it was near the end of the year. We were all almost about checked out for school, and Mr. Schultz says, "Yeah, we're going to the field to launch these rockets." And it was just it's so important to not only get the coding side of things, but also the hands-on experience side of things. And that was my favorite project ever.
Yeah,
Like
that's
we
great.
got to launch rockets in the field and went thousands of feet. Like it was amazing.
Well, we have 180 days usually in the school year, right? So if you're given up a certain number of them at the end of the year because you're checked out, like you said, that's not what we want, right? So having something that kind of holds your interest, I think that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's important. Have you ever done a project that didn't work the way you wanted it to, got stuck?
Basically all of them. I've
That's
gotten
really
stuck on
great.
all my projects. A great resource though is like my peers. I mean, there's a lot of people in the class that are a lot smarter than me. I have my strengths, they have their strengths, and even if it is in an individual project, it really always helps to go talk to someone else and look at their approach.
Yeah, let's talk about that part a little bit. I remember several years ago, I was visiting an elementary school in Utah, and one of the students, they were working on a project. They were building, I think they were building a beanstalk. They had just read Jack and the Beanstalk. They were building see who could build the tallest, strongest beanstalk. And one of the students raised his hand and said to the teacher, "So and so is looking at my beanstalk and is cheating." And so the teacher stopped the whole class and said, "I want us to look at everybody's beanstalks right now. Let's look around the room. What do you see? Are there similarities? What can you learn from somebody else's design?" That's what I hear you talking about, is that idea is like, it's okay, we can learn from each other.
Yeah, exactly. It's very important. I always thought, even in other classes unrelated to engineering, there's a lot of struggle when it comes to learning specific things. So if you can like kind of specialize in one thing and then take what someone else specialized in and then kind of share that information, it always works.
Yeah, do you see that in the teams as you work together? Because most of what you're doing in these classes, these PLTW engineering classes, are you're working with a group or a team, right? So do you see that where you're trying to match skill, strengths with other folks as you're picking your teams or as you're working together?
Yeah, I would say in all the teams, usually someone's good at CADing, someone's good more on the coding side, someone's usually better at, I want to say the business side, but putting together presentations and presenting. And I know my group, we have one person that's a good presenter, one person that's a good CADer, and one person that's better at building programming. And that's kind of what helped us put our group together, is we all knew that we all had strengths and we want to combine them into one group to make our project as good
That's great.
as we could.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, just like communication with your partners as well. Like we all want to be good at everything, but like sometimes it's just the reality that some people are better at coding and CADing than others and all that. So, but being able to learn from that, like I can look over at my partner and I can be like, look at this and kind of help him learn how to do this stuff as well. And it's all about like communication and teamwork, which is a big thing.
To add on to that, also, I wouldn't say it's just other students, it's other teachers too. I know me and him specifically, we've been going from our engineering classroom up to our computer science classroom. And while our computer science teacher has lunch, we've been going in there and talking with her about Python and how to integrate these AI cameras and sensors. And she's also been a really good help, even though she's not even in her
So why
class.
are you doing that? Say more about why you're doing that. Is it relative to a project or was
Yeah,
it?
for our
Okay.
capstone
Okay.
project.
All
So
right.
our project, I'd say, require harder coding than we know how to do, and harder than that we're learning in our AP computer science class right now. So we've been going up to her, asking her, like, how do we integrate these sensors using the code? How do we read the data? I know his is a little bit different with his AI camera, but around the same. And just to understand further than what we do right now.
No, that's great. In a lot of classes, you have an objective or a standard that you're trying to hit, and you're going to be tested on that standard, and you want to show mastery of that standard. What you're doing in this class is a little different than that because there is no exam. There's this thing that you're trying to deliver, and you're going through this and you're running into these issues like, oh, this isn't working the way we want it to work, or we need to know more Python than we actually know. So, a lot of ways, it sounds like you're exceeding the standard that's in these other classes. You say that's an AP computer science class. Great. So you're getting help there for that. You're working with your teams. You talked about communication. To me, like a lot of talk about AI now, right? So, and a lot of people wrestling with what are the jobs of the future look like? What are the skills that we need to have to be effective, successful, and happy to lead high quality lives in the world of AI? Communication is something you just talked about. You're working together. Communication is one of those skills. I think it's a human skill. It's a durable skill. Are there times where communication breaks down? How do you manage that? Your work, something doesn't work, you get frustrated. Talk a little bit more about communication and the projects that you're doing.
Well, sometimes it just gets like it backfires. Like what I'm trying to say is it can be hard to communicate sometimes exactly what you're trying to communicate in your head, where your partner listens to it and hears it in a different way. So that's sometimes what can be trouble with the communicating part.
Well, this is true for almost everyone walking the planet right now. Like there are so many of the issues we bump into in life are a result of miscommunication or misinterpretation. It's not the intent. It's not the thing that you were trying to say. It's maybe how somebody else interpreted. That's why it's such an important skill, right? No matter how far technology goes, being able, because you're encoding your thought into language, which is then decoded by somebody else. There's a lot of interpretation, a lot of room for error there. Have you ever disagreed about a design with a partner or how to handle your laughing?
Definitely.
Yeah. So how do you handle those disagreements? Do you throw things and get really obnoxious? Is that?
We kind of work to like combine them almost. Like
okay,
if they have an idea and I have an idea, and we both a little bit disagree, but sometimes there's usually one unique factor that you're like, oh, that's really good on your design, or that's really good on my design. And we work to combine both of our designs to get one final design that we're both happy with.
Okay, great. Is that similar across the groups?
I'd like to add that like the first thing I always do when I'm in a disagreement with someone specifically for like a design, I always try to point out the flaws of theirs, and then hopefully they point out the flaws of mine, because if we can identify the flaws first and then go and try to fix them, even if we're still doing it two separate designs, at some point we're going to have two working designs, and then we can work on combining them.
How does that go when you're pointing out the flaws in someone else's design? Do you find people sometimes are defensive, or is that something, you know, you talk about norms a lot of times. A norm is basically how are we going to work together? And every team, every group, companies have it, schools have it. Do you ever norm on that and say, hey, we're going to talk about each other's designs. I'm not going to get defensive. You don't get defensive. Or does it just sort of happen?
Well, I'd expect them to be defensive, you know, as I would be defensive to justify my design. And what I always really look for is if there's like a proper flow of how things work. If there's not like a proper flow, even, you know, the creator can identify, like, oh, I screwed up there, but I know how to fix it.
Yeah.
So if they know how to fix it and they can relay that to me, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good. Let's use that.
I would add that our teacher, Mr. Schultz, he's done a really good job at like setting the expectation for like constructive criticism in our class.
Okay, great.
Because we'll present like 50% along in our project, we'll present to like the whole class, and we'll have the whole class give feedback.
Yeah.
So I feel like he wants to like condition us for receiving criticism,
yeah,
and but make it constructive criticism. So I feel like he's prepared us to in a way to receive that.
Yeah, that's great.
That's kind of just like the reality of engineering is sometimes some of your parts are going to be wrong, and the other person is going to have a great idea. And it's just like taking that constructive, we've learned a lot from Mr. Schultz about taking that constructive criticism and maybe not like being so arrogant about it to be like, oh, I think that's right though. Like nothing needs to be changed about it. Maybe taking that constructive criticism and making it like better, like try and problem solve through it.
Yeah. I love what you were saying, each of you, about this receiving feedback. And to me, that's another element of communication. So many times people think communication is what you say, and that's a huge part of it, of course, but it's also, it's not always the words you say, it's sometimes the words you hear and how you hear them and then what you do with them. So that's another, listening well, that's another really important skill. So I want to ask you, I've visited Center Grove several times over the last few years. I've been in the room when when seniors like you have presented projects in the fall that you're working on. I know you're getting a lot of feedback. You're working with industry partners, working with the community. What's one thing, if not everybody is having this experience, all right? So there's over 50 million K-12 students across the U.S. today. They're not all showing up and having this kind of experience in their school. If you could take one thing from your program, the things that you've described today, or maybe something you haven't said yet, if you could take one thing and copy and paste it into every other school experience, what would it be?
I would say less of like a strict plan where we got to like do this and do this and do this, but more of like teaching with like a guidance instead of like strict teaching, like giving students just like a general guidance and helping them along the way, not giving them the answer right away, and letting them like feel free to work with their peers, work with other teachers.
So a little bit more exploratory, exploring interests, different careers, different kinds of problems to solve, that kind of thing. Okay, great.
I would say it's definitely the more of the hands-on, like practice with things. Like a lot of, we're so blessed at our school that we have a lot of like materials. Like we have VEX parts that we get to use to build our rovers and stuff with. And we're just so blessed to have these things that, allow us to use our hands to learn, whereas normal students might be sitting at the classroom all day just looking at physics stuff, looking at equations, solving on paper. We're just like, we're blessed to have these things.
You get to test it.
Right? Yeah, we get to test it, trial and error over and over again.
I love that. And what you, it kind of ties back to what you said earlier about once you get out and start testing it, you realize it's not going to work the way it, you thought
you
it was going
to
work
back
on
to
paper.
The classroom.
So that's great. Great.
It's hard to say exactly what element for me would be, you know, because we're in the senior class and we've built up all of this knowledge to finally get to this point where we can have this like very extreme level of freedom. But if I were to say anything, it would be really the soft skills that we've learned. I've always thought that soft skills are extremely important. Yep. And through this whole course, we've learned exactly what we were talking about earlier, like how to receive it, how to take it, and then, you know, just kind of figure it out in a way that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, a lot of people would agree with you even more today than a year or 5 years ago that the soft skills, Toyota calls them professional skills. I've heard them called America Succeeds is another group we work with. They call them durable skills. I'm hearing human skills a lot now that we're so focused on AI. But those are the things, right? You talked about it. Communication, persistence, ethical reasoning, how to work together as part of a team. And my view, and I think I hear you all talking about this, not just going to make you successful right now in school and then off in work, but those are the same skills that help you navigate all of the things in life. So I'm excited about that. All right, last question. Here you are, seniors. You're wrapping up this amazing high school experience. You're heading off into all kinds of interesting opportunities. What's one piece of advice you would give maybe a middle schooler or your former self, younger brother or sister?
Yeah, so I have a younger brother, and over time I've had to give him tons of advice. Whether he listens or not, I'd tell him this either way. What I've mainly told him is take the right classes that are steered towards what you want to be. So he wants to be an engineer as well. So I'm like, take physics, take all the engineering classes you can. It really, these colleges look for those. And I've also told him that you should just make sure you try and work hard from the beginning. I look back at freshman year and there are definitely classes that I'm like, man, I should have gotten an A in there where I got a B plus or a B. And I'm like, man, I definitely should have gotten an A in there, worked hard, did the extra credit to do to get an A in that class. So that's kind of what
great.
I would say.
Great advice.
Yeah, I would say just don't settle and keep pushing, because back in middle school, start of high school, like I was not at the level of, I don't want to say like smartness, but just like involvement in my classes and like what I did. And about sophomore year, I was just like, I want to be an engineer. Like, I want to be just like proud of what I'm doing. So, I mean, I took math over the summer. I like got caught up and everything. And now, I mean, being in AP classes, A's, straight A's, past 2 years, just like not settling for like what I think is good and going for the best.
I love that.
To add on to that, like another thing is stay involved with like your community, like do community service hours every single time you can. Join a bunch of clubs, join like the really good clubs, and go for leadership because like leadership really helps. And these colleges are looking for leadership. It's very
Yeah,
important as
put yourself
leadership.
out there a little bit. That's great.
Yeah.
From the perspective of like a younger brother and an older brother, I've always been harped on being told like you have to work hard, you have to get good grades, and do all these things that are very important to set yourself up for the future. From seeing my older brother's perspective, I know how important that is in your education and what that can be for what you want to do afterwards. And then from what I could tell, like my younger brother, kind of unrelated, but really just with like the personal finance aspect of it, they never really tell you how much things like college are going to cost or if you're going to need all this extra money, things like that. And oftentimes it's better to start sooner than later. Learning all that basic information of personal finance, just like how to save, what are like taxes, stuff like that, and just get a good foundation of that before you go into the real world.
Yeah, great. Hey, great answers. I'm so excited we got to capture the stories here from the three of you here at Center Grove High School. And just, I can't thank you enough for sitting down and taking time. I'm excited to see how your projects unfold over the next several weeks. I know a lot will happen here between now and the end of the school year, and you're going to go off, each of you, and do just amazing things. So thanks for being on the Learning Together podcast.
Thanks for having
Thank you.
us.
Thank you.
That's our conversation for today. My thanks to our guests for sharing their time and ideas. You'll find additional resources in the show notes, along with a link to PLTW's flagship podcast, Inspired. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another perspective from the classroom. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend so they can join us in learning together.